नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 15, Text 25. Ayam hi dehino deho dravya jnana priyatmakaha dehino vividha klesha santapa krit Udharataha Ayam hi dehino deho Dravya jnana priyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa kridudharataha Ayam hi dehino deho Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa krid udarhataha Ayam hi dehino deho Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa krid udarhataha Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa krid udarhataha Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa krid udarhataha Ayam hi dehino deho Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Ladies, no ladies. I am this. He certainly, dehinaha of the living entity, dehaha body, dravya jnana kriya atmakaha. Consisting of the material elements, the senses for acquiring knowledge, and the acting senses. Dehinaha, of the living entity. Vivita, various. Klesha, sufferings. Santapa, and of pains. Krit, the cause. Udahritaha, is declared. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations, adibhautik, adidaivik, and adhyatmik. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. Purport. In the fifth canto, while instructing his sons, Rishabhdev said, Asannapi kleshada asadeha. The body, although temporary, is the cause of all the miseries of material existence. As already discussed in the previous verse, the entire material creation is based on mental concoction. The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile, we can enjoy the physical elements, such as earth, water, air, and fire, combined in forms of iron, plastic, petrol, and so on. Working with the five material elements, panchabhutas, as well as with our five knowledge-gathering senses, like the eyes, ears, and tongue, and our five active senses, like the hands and legs, we become involved in the material condition. Thus, we are subjected to the tribulations known as adhyatmik, adidaivik, and adipotic. The mind is the center, because the mind creates all these things. As soon as the material object is struck, however, the mind is affected, and we suffer. For example, with the material elements, the working senses, and the knowledge-gathering senses, we create a very nice car. And when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers. The fact is that the living entity, while concocting with the mind, creates the material condition. Because matter is destructible, through the material condition, the living entity suffers. Otherwise, the living entity is detached from all material conditions. When one comes to the Brahma platform, the platform of spiritual life, fully understanding that he is a spiritual soul, aham brahmasmi, he is no longer affected by lamentation or hankering. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahma and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mama Ivangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanantanaha Manashastan Indriyani Prakatistani Karshati. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is unaffected by material conditions. But because the mind, mana, is affected, the senses are affected, and the living entity struggles for existence within this material world.
Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Ayam hi dehino deho dravya gana kriyatmakaha dehino vividha klesha santapa krid udavitaha. A fundamental theme Srila Prabhupada has given us is that you're not this body. We hear that so often, and it seems such a simple thing that we dismiss this as sort of ABC. You know, this is like kindergarten stuff. I'm not this body. Everyone knows I'm not this body. But that, why is Prabhupada hammering on that point so much? We have to consider that this is the root cause of material existence. That I'm not this body, but I'm identifying with this body. And the crucial point is the mind. Sankalpa prabhavan kamams, the desires that we're trying to fulfill are products of mental concoction. Sankalpa Prabhavan. Sankalpa means mental concoction. Prabhavan. They're born of mental concoction. What is that mental concoction? That I can enjoy separately from Krishna. My natural position is to desire to serve Krishna. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat pratena nirmalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam. That's called bhakti, bhakti ruchate. That's my normal condition. But in our abnormal condition, we're imagining that we can be happy independently. This is the business of the polluted mind. Dushtaman, the polluted mind. And otherwise the living entity has nothing to do with material existence. Asango hiyam purushaha. The Vedic statement is that there's no connection between the living being and the body. They have nothing to do with one another. I have nothing to do with matter. I'm spirit, aham brahmasmi. You know, as a spiritual living being, what do I have to do with matter? Nothing. But I imagine that I have a connection, or that I am matter, more than connected with matter. I imagine myself to be a product of matter. Or I imagine myself to be the enjoyer of matter. And because of this imagination, I'm connected with this material energy. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunam. Karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni jannashu. Why am I in this material world? Because I've taken the position of an enjoyer, purusha. And bhunkte prakriti jan gunam. I'm trying to enjoy what the material energy produces. I'm trying to enjoy the products of the three modes of material nature. Karanam guna sangasya. And in this way, I become associated with the modes of material nature. To enjoy something, I have to, just like a boy wants to enjoy the company of a girl. So he has to enter her association. Hi, where are you from? I haven't seen you here before. And the more he associates, the more he becomes attracted to enjoy. And then the association becomes tighter, tighter. Then Striya pumsa maitini bhavametam ata griha kshetra sutta apta. Then when there's association through marriage or without marriage, they become attached to one another. Then they want an apartment, they want this, they want that. And they think, I'm mine, I'm hers, she's mine. But what's the beginning? The association. The beginning is association. That's described elsewhere in the second chapter. Jayata Vishaya Pumsam. The beginning is just to think of sense gratification. It all starts on the mental platform. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, material life begins when you see a girl and you think, she's nice. Then the mind starts rolling. Why she's nice? Or for a girl, she sees a boy, he's nice. Now, jayata, thinking, then sangha, that leads to associating. Then association leads to strong desire, kama. That leads usually to frustration and anger. Then one becomes bewildered, loses his intelligence, then finished. In any case, the beginning point is just meditation or imagination. Imagination. There's no happiness to be had in this material world, but according to the senses with which one has acquired due to one's mentality, he thinks, this is nice, this is nice. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu was saying yesterday, the hog thinks, this is nice. Stool, eating stool is nice. The dog thinks, the bone is nice. The human being thinks, eating in this restaurant is nice. But what nice is it? It's the nice material entanglement. The fish sees the hook, sees the bait on the hook and thinks, this is nice. It's not nice, but he's imagining that it's nice. He's imagining it's nice. Karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmashu. So this imagination becomes the cause of becoming associated with matter or bound to matter in life after life, sometimes higher species, sometimes lower species. All on this point of mental concoction. The body is described, dravya, jnana, kriyatmaka. The body consists of the stuff of which the body is made, kapavitta vayu, or bones, blood, and so on. And knowledge gathering senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, and so on. The acting senses, the hands, the legs, the belly, the genitals. Mana shastan indriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entity is struggling with these 10 senses. The knowledge-gathering senses want to enjoy seeing or touching or tasting or smelling. And the active senses are to be engaged in pursuing sense gratification. And the mind is the center of all this. The living entity is stuck. The result is dehina, dehina asmin dehi, the living entity within the body, is suffering. Vividha klesha santapa krit. This misidentification with the body is the cause for vividha klesha, vividha santap. Klesha means troubles, sufferings, and santap means misery. Tapa, tapa means heat, burning, santapa, burning. We're burning in this material existence, burning with desire, burning with envy, burning with regret, burning with lamentation. Tapa means burning. What is that? Divinishi hi ajvale. Narottam Das Thakur says, day and night I'm burning in the fire of this material existence. Dvidha klesha. Not one misery. Multiple. Miseries from the body, miseries from the mind, miseries from other living beings, miseries from the environment. All this environmental crisis is going on. Nations are meeting what to do about the environment because the environment is perceived as giving misery. But actually, even they perceive, we're helping the environment give us misery. Because we're misusing the environment is giving us more trouble. Even when you live in harmony with the environment gives you trouble. When you're living on your natural farm, growing organic vegetables, and drinking pure water from a natural spring, still the environment is going to give trouble. It'll be too hot, it'll be too cold. There'll be this trouble or that trouble. It will be less, but it must be there. But trouble from the environment, trouble from other living beings, rats, mosquitoes, government officers, spouses, children, parents, employers, competitors. Then miseries from the body. Every part of the body can give misery. There's some analysis like that in Sankhya philosophy. Like, how much pleasure can you get from your fingernail? Say this nail on the thumb. How much pleasure can you get from it? Nothing, right? How much pain can you get from it? Something is... If the fingernail is damaged, it becomes infected. That little same fingernail that can't do anything to give you pleasure can give you heaps of misery. And that's one fingernail. Even let's take the smallest one. It can give you excruciating misery. The eyes can give miseries. I was once, we have the devotee Shanik Rishi. He's an emergency physician. So he subscribes to a magazine, Emergency Medicine, a professional magazine. So I was sitting in his house and just looking at the latest issue, and that particular issue dealt with trauma of the eye. The various eye problems that an emergency physician might be confronted with. And there were so many. A foreign object in the eye, as this inflammation of the eye, this of the eye, that of the eye, and with bright colored pictures of all these miseries that could happen to your eye. Those are like emergency traumas, and then there's just cataracts and disease. And one little ball, of which you get two, each one capable of causing misery. The liver can cause misery, the kidneys can cause misery. Every inch of the body can cause misery. How many miseries the body is potentially capable of causing, you can't even count. Sometimes, like our Shamsundar Prabhu, astrologer, was in a car accident. Then his body was all smashed up. This part is giving misery. That part is giving misery. Another part is giving misery. This part is giving misery. His wife was smashed up. Her neck is going to cause misery. Her back is causing misery. This is causing misery. And while she's thrown out of the car and suffering, some man, the driver or a driver of another vehicle, wants to steal her Mangal Sutra and rape her. other living entities causing misery, as if your body and mind aren't causing enough. Under such circumstances, some person with mental concoction in his mind wants to steal the Mangal Sutra and rape the girl. There's so many miseries. I mean, you can read book after book after book of the miseries this person has gone through, the misery those people have gone through. And you don't have to read books. You have your own history of the miseries you've gone through. And that's only for this one lifetime. And only what you remember. Vividha klesha. Multifarious miseries. Vividha klesha, santapakrit. All on account of this body. And all unnecessary because I'm not this body. As soon as I'm not this body, nashochati nakankshati. Nothing to lament over, nothing to desire. Prasanatma, one becomes joyful. I'm not this body. Yay! What a relief. By mental concoction, I was thinking so many things, all in relationship to this body. But when we become Krishna conscious, then I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, I'm part of Krishna. Then my joyful life is there. So the Angira Rishi wants to present all these facts before Chitraketu Maharaj. He's undergoing so much misery. His son has died. But it's all mental concoction. He's not anyone's father. He's not anyone's son. Because he's not this body. The whole illusion starts on this point. In the mind. What is false ego? False ego means identifying myself with the body. We have these elements starting with the grossest, earth, then water, then fire, then air. Air is more subtle. Then ether, more subtle. Mind, intelligence, false ego, most subtle. What is that subtle false ego? It's the point at which the spiritual living being misidentifies with the material energy and tries to enjoy it. It's that, that's the link. There's no link. This is matter, this is spirit. Spirit has nothing to do with matter. But the spiritual living being falsely looks at matter as something to enjoy and becomes caught. By mental concoction. Or forgetfulness of Krishna. So this Sankirtan is meant to revive our eternal Krishna consciousness. These books are meant to revive the lost Krishna consciousness of the living beings. They're falsely living lives entirely based on mental concoction. And the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant to dispel their illusions. Krishne svatam opagate gana. What is that? Dharma gana adibisaha. Kalo nashtra dasham esha pura narka dunorita. In this darkness of Kali Yuga, the Srimad Bhagavatam rises like the sun to dispel darkness and to revive the living being's eternal knowledge and his eternal spirit of devotional service. So our mission is to spread this spiritual knowledge, tapatrayo namulanam, to uproot the threefold miseries.
Bhejam Bhastavam Atravastu Shivanam Tapatrayo Namunam. By giving the real substance in the form of Krishna consciousness, we can uproot the threefold miseries of material existence, which they're trying to uproot by this method, that method, political method, social method, educational method, psychological method, by economic development, by this, by that. All failure by going to the moon. All failure. But by this one method, Krishna consciousness, tapatrayonamunam, the living being can get freed from lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of miseries. Mukta sangasya jayate, and he comes to his liberated position in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Some questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
There are threefold miseries, and birth, death, disease, and old age. These are the four main problems of life. So how do we relate both of these?
Birth is misery, death is misery, old age is misery, and disease is misery. Actually, you can't count the miseries. Here they're described not as one or two or three or four. Vividha. Vividha means diverse. But just to help us, as they say, wrap our heads around it, just to help us get a grasp on it, sometimes it's said, well, there are three. This one, and this one. Or sometimes it's said there's four. This one, this one, and this one. Actually, they're innumerable. But they're just like the doctor may say, well, you've got three problems, this, this, and this. Actually, he knows by looking at the chart that each of those problems has further complications and another problem and another problem. But to explain it to the patient, he says, basically, you've got three problems. Your liver is bad, your lungs are giving you trouble, and you've got a heart condition. But each one of those things, there's on and on and on and on. So there's so many ways to describe the innumerable miseries of this material world. But sometimes they're described as threefold miseries. Then these four problems, dosa. Dosa means faults. Four faults of material existence. What's wrong with material? These four things are wrong. But from beginning to end, you can't take full inventory of the miseries. But for simplicity, three, four. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are talking about karanam guna sangasya, that when the living entity comes under the clutch of three modes. So generally we see that when someone is under the modes, he acts as if he is programmed in particular way, and then it appears that he has no choice of his own. So how we...
It's just like a guy, you see these guys, let's take the mode of passion, you see these guys on a motorcycle, you know, brum, 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 and he's got a girl on the back, brum, 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 brum. And there's all the excitement involved in his relationship with the girl. And practically he's helpless because she says, wouldn't it be nice if we did this? And he's got to go, yeah. Because he's tied to her for enjoyment. So it means, wouldn't it be nice? It means, let's pick your pocket. Why don't you spend some money that you worked so hard for? Why don't you work some more so that you can get some more money? Why don't you do something that will satisfy my senses? then I'll satisfy your senses. So he's stuck. She says, he doesn't want to do it, but she, can't we go here? He doesn't want to go. But she wants to go, he has to go. Spending money and whatever else it is. He becomes Yoshit Krita, a dancing dog in the hands of a woman, Kapil Dev says. Yoshit Krita Mrgeshucha, a dancer, a toy dog, a toy animal in the hands of a woman. Yoshit Krita Mrgeshucha. Why? It's like he's stuck, he has no choice. But really it's his choice. He's the one who wanted to enjoy, now he's stuck. But it's his choice. And if he had the determination, he could leave also. He could walk out. Raghunath Das Goswami walked out. Just walked out. So many just walked out. Bilbo Mangal Thakur, he was completely attached. But he had a change of consciousness, walked out. The freedom is there, but we sell our freedom. We forfeit our freedom because of attachment, because of desire to enjoy. What is that? Bhunkte prakriti jangana. We take up the spirit of enjoyers, and in that spirit we become attached. You know, man is working hard his whole life. Working himself into just misery, more misery. Why? For enjoyment. Little sex, little something. So a whole life of misery, he could walk out it, but he doesn't because he's attached. Therefore the spiritual knowledge is meant, is required. Someone has to walk in there and say, you're bewildered. You've got the wrong idea. You're attached to something that has no meaning. The message of the Vedic sages is there to give them knowledge, detachment, devotional service. It's available. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lamenting, Ratilu Narottam Das Thakur's lamenting, Ratilu Nikenetai, I don't have attachment for this, chanting Hare Krishna, I have attachment for sense gratification. The freedom is available. You know, there's a phenomenon in criminology with prisoners. They become so conditioned to prison life that they can't imagine leaving the prison. They're getting their food. They have a place to stay. They have people they know, friends. They have a predictable routine. And to think about going to the outside world where who knows what might happen and what people will think of them, and how they'll live is too much. So they make sure that they stay in prison. You know, when he's ready to be released, he punches the warden and gets committed for another 2 years. He could leave. He's eligible to be released. But he thinks, this is life. He's unwilling to go out. That's the position of the conditioned souls. We're giving them the message. You don't have to live here. You don't have to suffer these innumerable miseries. You can come to the platform of eternal life. And they don't want to go. Because you can't eat garlic and onions. If to go back to Godhead I have to sacrifice garlic and onions, then I don't want to go. Or whatever it is. We're giving them a message of eternal happiness, and they accuse, oh, you're escaping from your responsibilities. My responsibility is to stay here and suffer like a dog? Yes, that's your responsibility. Because of lack of knowledge, lack of detachment. What is that? Gyanino nitya vairina. Avritam gyanam etena. Gyanino nitya vairina. Kamarupena kontya duspurena. Their knowledge. Avritam gyanam gyanina. The living entity is described as gyanina. He's a gyani by nature. That means not a speculator. He's full of knowledge by nature. Satchidananda. But avritam gyanam. His knowledge is covered by material desire. Let me enjoy, let me enjoy, let me enjoy. Avritam gyanam etena, gyanino nityavairana, by his eternal enemy in the form of the spirit of enjoyment. They think the spirit of enjoyment is my friend. If they don't have a spirit of enjoyment, they go to a doctor and they say, doctor, I don't have a spirit of enjoyment. If a man's not lusty, he goes to a doctor and says, and asks, you know, what's the problem? How can I fix this? But that spirit of enjoyment is his enemy. The spirit of enjoyment is not the friend of the fish, it's the enemy of the fish, by which he gobbles the bait. The spirit of enjoying the nice sound of the flute is the enemy of the deer. The spirit of enjoying sex with the female elephant is the enemy of the male elephant by which he's captured in the pit. So the spirit of enjoyment is the disease, but they're thinking it's good. So all of these things have to be cleared out by Krishna consciousness, by the message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the chanting of Hare Krishna. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice exposition. But as it says that in the Dehina, in the body, we suffer. I'm sure the same suffering continues when the living entity also leaves the body in the transition after the transmigration.
Right, the bell is giving us misery. Now.
When living entity is suffering in the body, people erroneously say that, you know, I want to become liberated, means I want to leave this body. They think that by just leaving this body or committing suicide, then they'll become free.
That's again a poor fund of knowledge.
And they kind of think that's mukti, but actually the seeds are carried in the
mind.
That's
like trying to get out of prison by jumping over the wall. They get caught and put into solitary confinement. Doesn't work. If it worked, great. We'd all commit suicide. Just doesn't work. By the way, something I was thinking about in relation to your question about Varnashram yesterday, that if we're, the Shastra is recommending sannyas, but then what about Varnashram? But Varnashram is not a synonym for householder life. Varnashram means four ashrams. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So how is it incompatible? Varnashram means sannyas. One-fourth of the program. One-fourth of the program is retirement, Vanaprastha life. Not that 100% of the program is family life. What about Varnashram? As if Varnashram meant living in your family life till you die. That's not Varnashram. Varnashram means four ashrams. That's also a program for getting free from mental concoction and suffering. Due to the mental concoction a brahmachari, someone who's brahmachari, then by mental concoction he thinks, I need a wife. All right, Vedic literature accommodates that because that sense is very strong. But it's meant for his cure. All right, you do this for some years and retire from it. Don't remain in that illusion your whole life. Or, if you're not an illusion, don't remain in that attachment for your whole life. Or, if you're not illusioned and you're not attached, don't remain in that predicament your whole life. Get out. That's Varnashram. It's not sannyas versus Varnashram. It's sannyas as part of Varnashram. Vanaprastha is part of Varnashram. I'm thinking about our ISKCON institution is undeveloped because it emphasizes two ashrams or sometimes three ashrams. Brahmachari, Grihastha, basically two ashrams, and then a third ashram, sannyas. But there's an ashram in between, which is very important, Vanaprastha ashram. And that ashram should be developed also. And it leads to the fourth ashram, sannyas. Otherwise, one jumps from the first or the second to the fourth, and then sometimes goes back to the second.
How is it, Maharaj, that in this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden?
Forbidden means forbidden. Mayavad sannyas is forbidden. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted it, sannyas is forbidden, but he took sannyas. And when his brother took sannyas, he approved. So you have to take the statement as interpreted by the court. You have to take the law as interpreted by the court, not as you interpret it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the judge. He recognized the law, but he gives his judgment that for spreading Krishna consciousness, taking sannyas is very good.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I had a question. When you are going from the material part to the spiritual part, how does one know if one is firstly on the right track and progressing on the right lines? What are the indications one gets on the path that you are progressing spiritually and in the right direction?
Therefore, the spiritual guide is required.
Yes,
just like in your studies, yes. How do you know that you're progressing properly in your studies? The teacher is there. The teacher says, yes, good answer, good answer. No, you have it wrong.
Yes.
When the teacher is satisfied, you're going in the right direction. Then you can understand, yes, I'm going in the right direction.
The teacher is telling you're in the right direction, you're in the right direction. He keeps telling you. And heart of heart you feel you are self-realized. Hmm? Heart of heart you feel that you're not much attached with the material world. You are in
That's
the spiritual
right. I couldn't hear. Speak directly and a little slowly.
How does one, the teacher is guiding you, teacher has told you you're on the right path, you've done the studies, and how does one really get the indications or the you know, how does he know that he's on the right path and progressing?
First of all, if the spirit, genuine spiritual master says he's on the right path, he's on the right path. He doesn't have to separately ask. Just like if the teacher says the engineering student's on the right path, he doesn't have to go to a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst or anyone else and ask, how do I know if I'm on the right path? The teacher's satisfied, you're fine. That's the first thing.
And ultimately you realize it yourself.
Shunya, that's the first thing.
Yes.
Just, we don't have to consider further. The bona fide teacher has said, you're on the right path. I may feel it, not feel it, but I accept, yes, I'm on the right path. Second thing is, it's practical. You'll experience that you're on the right path. Just like when you eat, no one has to give you a certificate later. Yes, you've eaten. You'll feel, now I'm full, I don't want to eat anymore. Pratyakshavagamandama. You'll experience practically. So by chanting Hare Krishna, by following the path of Krishna consciousness, you'll experience also. What is that? You become happy, and your desire for material enjoyment diminishes. The materialists, their desires are always increasing, always frustrated. I got this, but still I'm not happy. I have that, but still I'm not happy. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, I lost that and still I'm happy. I gave away this and still I'm happy. I don't care about that anymore and still I'm happy. Bhaktir parasyanu bhava viraktir anyatracha. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu gave the items yesterday. Nama gana sadaruchi. You develop an attachment for chanting Hare Krishna. It becomes tasty for you. I like chanting. I like hearing. That's a sign you're advancing. You don't waste time in material affairs anymore because you have a taste for serving Krishna. That's a sign. One becomes very humble. Even great scholars, proud and puffed up, they became very humble when they became Krishna conscious. That's a sign. So there are these, and he becomes detached. So these are everything is there. Srila Prabhupada's given the book, Nectar of Devotion. The specific items are described exactly how you can judge. It's not sentiment. Oh, when I feel... No. There's a science. You can calibrate everything, gauge everything. You can take the exam and tick off the items because they're all described in the Nectar of Devotion. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. A Brahmabhuta Prasadatma person, he is above bodily platform, correct?
Brahmabhuta Prasadatma person is...
He is above bodily platform, correct?
What about the bodily platform? He's above the bodily platform, yeah. Yes.
Then does it mean that even if some injuries are inflicted in his body, he will not suffer pain in the body?
Yeah, he doesn't suffer. Even some injury is there, he knows, what does this injury have to do with me? I'm not this body. Some sensation is there, but he knows that, what is this misery? It's superficial. So our Sridhar Maharaj, in his last days, he had so much bodily trouble. And devotees would ask him, Maharaj, how are you feeling? Never felt better in my life. Undoubtedly, so much trouble was there, but that becomes reduced to practically minimal or practically nil because I'm not this body. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, not one time, a million times, why do you people shave your head? So one time he gave the answer, so that when they hit you on the hair, you won't feel it. I If the hair is on my head, that you hit me on the head, then I feel it. But if the hair is detached, you hit me on the hair, I don't care. So when I'm thinking I'm this body, when the body is injured, then I'm injured. But when I'm not this body, then what does this misery have to do with me? It's possible. The misery has become superficial. There's an example in Srimad Bhagavatam, in a purport Prabhupada gives, that I think Prabhupada gave this example. Anyway, you're going to the... No, this is a different example. But anyway, just like sometimes you're shuffling papers and you're looking at this paper and you're looking at that paper and maybe this legal question or this financial question. And when you're done with all of your papers, you realize that you have a paper cut. You know those paper cuts? Quite painful, yeah? Paper cut. So when you're done with the work, you realize you have a paper cut. Why didn't you realize before? For 5-10 minutes, he's shuffling papers, and he doesn't realize that there's a paper cut because he's absorbed in the subject matter. This land deal, or this transaction, or this legal question, he's absorbed. And when his, only when he's no longer absorbed, then he feels it. Oh, got my hand. We all have that experience, yeah?
Maharaj, once a devotee comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, is there a possibility of again coming back to a bodily platform?
After a devotee's come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then does he come again to the bodily platform? Is that your question?
Yeah, my question is, once a devotee reaches a platform of Brahma-Bhuta stage, is there a possibility of his coming again back to bodily platform?
Is there, when he's reached the Brahma-Bhuta platform, is there a chance of his coming down again? Yes. Just like a patient, when he's in the recuperative stage, there's a chance of relapse. He's not cured, he's in recuperation. Brahma-Bhuta stage is not the stage of perfect health, it's the beginning. Even the Mayavadis who have perfect Brahma-Bhuta realization fall down. Because Brahma-Bhuta is not enough. Prabhupada gives the example that some rocket escapes the Earth's atmosphere, but unless it or escapes Earth's gravitational field, but unless it lands on some planet, it'll fall down on the planet that's the target. It falls down again to Earth or falls down someplace. So we may go high and high and high, even up to the Brahma Jyoti, but unless we reach the lotus feet of Krishna and become engaged in devotional service, we'll fall back down. And even a devotee, it's not, now I've become a devotee, I can never fall down. No intelligent devotee ever thinks that. Intelligent devotee thinks, I could fall at any minute. This is a bona fide Prabhupada story. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles a little early in the movement, and one devotee had given him a gold, you don't know what gold lame is, but gold lame is a kind of like shiny golden cloth that looks a little like gold. And another devotee had made a big coat for him with those peacock feathered tassels. Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Los Angeles. He said, now we are getting so many things, so I am just praying to Krishna that I may not fall down. So what to speak of us? No, I'm out of the woods. I have no problem. I'll never fall down. We should be very much, Prabhupada said, the trouble with my students is they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. If we're sufficiently afraid of Maya, we'll think at any moment I could fall down. I have to be so careful. In the Upanishads, it said that the path of spiritual realization is like the razor's edge.
a little inattention and you cut. We should be very careful. And particularly, Brahmabhuta is nothing. That's just the beginning. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nashochati nikan. Mad bhaktim labhate param. That's just the preliminary stage for Krishna bhakti. Then in the Krishna bhakti, there are this stage, this stage, this stage. Until you come to the perfect stage, there's always a possibility of falling down. Maharaj Bharat fell from the platform of bhava, ecstasy. He fell down. So until one reaches perfection, we should be so careful. Okay? Oh, it's very late. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.